Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm kind of sick this morning. Not physically. It's kind of sick of everything that's going on. A little trauma here in the Dobenmeyer household. We sit on the verge of a new little baby joining us due tomorrow. We don't know if it's a boy or if it's a girl yet because Abby decided they were just going to have a surprise. So Michelle's on her pins and needles and I'm not quite as much on pins and needles. But we're expecting a new little arrow tomorrow. After we read that thing yesterday on arrows, man, that was impacting. So welcome. Welcome here, Coach Dave, live, Pass the Salt, whatever you want to call it. Welcome to the huddle. Thanks for your faithful, continued participation in here. Thank you that I hope you are growing like we're all growing, like I'm growing. And I think all the time I wasted. Wasted in church. And what's really exciting is our platform is exploding. This platform right here is exploding. And the idea of what we are doing is beginning to explode as well. Tomorrow we're going to launch, Gary's been working hard behind the scenes trying to get our 2019 calendar updated. And I'm going to give you fair warning right now. If you want to host a huddle, you better get a hold of it. Let's get it on the calendar because things are really, really starting. You ever get a feeling it's time? It's time. And did you ever get this feeling that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain? And I often hear from, not often, that's not the right word. I've heard in the past from people who'd say, man, Coach, I wish I could do what you do, or Coach, man, I wish my ministry could get traction like yours. And, you know, I just kind of pull back and I think, are you serious? Do you have any idea how long I've been doing this? Maybe not this show. I've been doing this show for 3 years. Do you have any idea how long Pass the Salt, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, when I started saying back in 2000 and 2001 that you are the salt of the earth, and I named the ministry, the Lord gave us the name of Pass the Salt Ministry. Do you have any idea? Can you count to 19? Let's try it. Year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and now 2019. I want you to know something. I have been planting and watering for 18 years, and I say it's time. I say it's time. Yeah, Dale did start as a Minuteman. It did start. And, you know, I'm just going to say what I feel, and I'm sorry if you take it the wrong way, you take it as arrogance or whatever. I knew 13 years ago, 15 years ago, I knew that I was supposed to be doing this. I couldn't get traction. I couldn't get people. I couldn't. See, I thought when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, all I had to do was run and tell the pastors. Said, oh, my goodness, if the pastors just knew what was going on, they'd come and stand with me. They'd come and fight. And then that was the rudest awakening of my life. When I got there and found out that they didn't care. They weren't interested in fighting. They weren't interested in pushing back. They didn't care. No, no, no. No, they didn't care. So it's been a lot of seeding, watering, planting, and I believe it's time for a harvest. That's what I believe. And the biggest battle that we have fought, is gatekeepers. But what do you mean by that? I just I look at my buddy Mark Harrington. God bless Mark Harrington. He and I started on terrestrial radio. I started in 2000, year 2000. Mark and I started at the same time on a local Christian radio station. Big boom. I covered the whole state, covered a couple different states. We started out on that. And way ahead of our time, way ahead of our time. And now that radio station on Salem Communications, I want you to hear that name because I want to say it. Some of the greatest gatekeepers in the world are at Salem Communications, Salem Radio, great gatekeepers. They make sure that if you're a Christian, you stay in that box. They box you in, and they don't let anybody else get in. And I've tried to pay to get onto terrestrial radio. I've fought that fight. They won't let me come. You know why they won't let me? Because I say bad things about the pastor and about the church. Yeah, I do. Mark Harrington, he's taking another stab on it. He's back on WRFD, and he's on the station in Cleveland and on the station in, I don't know, maybe it's Cincinnati. Still going after that brain dead sit in your goo church. I'm sorry. It's time. That's what I would say. It's time. I'm looking over here with David. Arthur's talking about beforeitsnews.com, David. I know all that stuff, but I know that the guy who's pulling the trigger wants to counter that stuff. He wants a strong Christian message here. So, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I was talking to Todd last night, Todd Barham. He's very, very grateful. I'm not gonna bother him with a phone call today. He's in a war, baby. He's in a war. And you know why he's in a war? Not only is he in a spiritual war over his illness. Here, listen. He's in a spiritual war with the medical world. And he's, I don't want to say anything I don't want to break any confidence. But in our conversation last night, he said, the medical world's wicked. And I said, what do you expect, Todd? They are godless. In the medical world, drugs, antibiotics, doctors, horse pistols, whatever, they are God. And so anything with the supernatural that would come sneaking in, they don't anything. And so he had a conversation last night with one of his doctors regarding his treatment. And Todd just asked him pertinent questions. How do you know this will help? And how do you know this will help? And should I do this? Should I do that? See, they're not used to, like church, they're not used to guys coming in informed, asking questions. So continue to pray for Todd, because Todd understands, I'm going to get into this here in just a second. Todd understands that this is a spiritual war. Stay with me. And then I got thinking yesterday, you know, guys, what about Brian Cunningham? Has anybody been in contact with Brian Cunningham? Remember Brian said, Brian Cunningham, who's Brian? Yeah. 5 weeks ago, the guy got run over by his own skid steer. Remember that? That bobcat ran over him. We showed the pictures of him. I'd almost forgotten about Brian. I mean, I hadn't forgotten him, but I called him yesterday. Man, he's still laid up. He's still laid up. 5 weeks. Doctor said he's not even allowed to walk till next week. There's another brother that we should have been lifting up, and I want to pat Victor on the back, because Victor's been staying in contact with him. For those of you who know Brian, and some of you know him down in the Texas Salt and Light Brigade, give Brian a call, because he's going through it too, man. He's got the same fighting spirit that Todd has, but he's a war. He is at war. And then I got to say this, and I don't know how to do this, except I'm speaking to those of you who, you'll know who you are. Todd shared with me last night that his wife, Leslie, has just been a rock. Just a rock. But she's alone. She's at the hospital. She hasn't left the hospital in all the time that he's been there. But she doesn't have any support. She doesn't have any women calling and encouraging. Michelle tries to check in with her. I don't know if Michelle Estes is. I don't know if others are. But some of you right now are hearing me. You need to get in contact with me. We need to encourage the encouragers. And we're in a war, all right? Jennifer Campbell's dealing with cancer as well. I say, who's Jen Campbell? Well, she's a Texas Salt and Light Brigade member. There's something that is really, 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 I'm going to get into it. Hey, I'll shut up and give somebody a chance. Come on in.
Yeah, I spoke to. I spoke to Brian last week, and he was he's a very positive coach, you know, and the healing, he is healing. Okay. It just, right. He's anxious to get back on his feet, but you know, he is very, his spirit was very upbeat.
I spoke to him last night as well. And, he is very up, but, we need to continue. Listen, I asked him, he didn't say anything. I said, man, you working? What would happen to you if you were self-employed and you couldn't get out of bed? He says, well, Coach, you know, I'm doing some part-time work here from home, and yeah, we're making it. And I've heard from Karen Thomas. Yeah, I've heard somebody. Yeah, Karen's with us. Glenn, here's all I'm saying. We, boys and girls, we have to be prepared to bear one another's financial burdens as well. Okay? I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about past us all. Brian says he's okay now. But Glenn, what would happen to your house? You couldn't work for 6 weeks and you didn't have any sick leave. What would happen in your house?
Well, you know, yeah, obviously it would take its toll. You know, I mean, I do get some sick time off, but you know, if it was prolonged, yes, it would take a toll. Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I have to confess that I really need to do much better on staying in contact and encouraging our brothers and things. But then I also have to admonish that if you think that you have to mention somebody's name when you're speaking to God, asking for God's will in other people's lives, then you really hold yourself in too high of esteem. Because when we pray the way Jesus taught us to, we're automatically praying for all of those situations we talked about and the ones we don't know about. We're praying for every one of our brothers and sisters, because that prayer starts off with the word "our." Now, it's not wrong to pray individually by name and by circumstances. I don't think that's wrong. But if you think that's the only way to get God's, just do it the simple way Jesus taught us to, and I think things will improve.
Whatever that means, folks. Now, listen. Listen, this is important. God's way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And it's the way that seemeth right to a man. And see, crazy as this sounds, sometimes it's not God's will to heal. I can read the Bible, right? But we have to come to the realization that this life that we live is not about this life, it's about the next life. And the impact we can have in this life as we pass through. Am I making sense to somebody? When I pray for people, I pray they'll be healed. I pray and I believe for Jeremiah Thomas to be healed with all that I had. I believe for that. But who knows why, for whatever reason, that didn't seem to be God's will. Or this is where you get into that faith debate. Is our faith not strong enough? Did we not pray the right way? As if it's some type of formula. As Larry said, our Father, our kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah, Dale.
First thing is Jeremiah is healed now. Amen.
Right.
And there's real simple. There's three types of sicknesses. There's a sickness because of the fall of man, the spirit of infirmity, because of that comes into the world. Because of Adam's sin, all flesh will die. The second type of sickness is because of the consequences of our sins. In other words, you know, I'm going to smoke 20 packs of cigarettes a day there my whole life and then wonder why you get lung cancer. So there's a consequence of reaping and sowing. But then there's a third type, and that is that God would be glorified. When that man questioned, he says, was it his father's sin? Was it his sin? And Jesus said, neither. It was that God would get glorified. So those are really the shell of the three types of sickness in the world. The fall of man, the consequences of sin, and that God would be glorified. So we pray for, even in Todd's situation, that third part, that God would be glorified. Let me tell you what. However the end result is, as long as he keeps his eyes upon the prize, God is going to get glorified, whether in this life or in the death.
Amen. Amen. So, see, very well said, Dale. We don't count that as a canceling your faith or anything like that, right? We don't. But I think, excuse me, we have to be careful how we what we say, that we don't give life to something that is death. Do you make sense? Don't say, well, I'm not what I'm going to do with my diabetes. I don't know what I'm going to do with my cancer. And I don't know what I'm not. Don't take ownership of it, because it isn't yours and it isn't from the Lord. Making sense? So we do have to be careful with the words that we say. Yes. Gary asked about, Karen, you're in here today, aren't you? By the way, I just put Leslie's phone number in the chat. If you guys want to, if you're not in the chat, or you're just listening to the show and you would like to have contact Leslie's number, just send me an email and I'll shoot it to you. And it's good to know somebody's worried about Karen Thomas. Karen's not in here today, but she's been in here regularly and I've spoken with her. And everything's good there, Gary. So thanks for being concerned there. Yeah, come on in.
Hey, Coach. You know, when I talked with Todd the other day, me, Randy, Paul, and Alan, we had a great talk with Todd. And you know, one thing we talked about, and Todd mentioned to me, is he said, "You know what? I'm going to change my diet." And you know, a lot of times, and I can't emphasize this enough, just in my own life, the spiritual and the natural laws, they go hand in hand. They don't contradict each other. They don't violate each other. Just like gravity is a natural law, we know we have spiritual laws that go along with that. So sometimes, and maybe there's people in the queue that need to hear this, because I know I was in my late 30s, early 40s, and I would get out of bed, I would ache, my feet would ache. And you know what? It was all because my diet wasn't right. I was ingesting, you know, when we ingest things like refined sugar, that's just poison. If you're drinking a lot of pop, you're drinking a lot of diet sodas, you're just putting poison in your body. And then we really lose the right to say, well, God, why am I getting this sickness? So I just encourage everyone, do what you can do in the natural. And then Dale's right. There's things we don't understand. There's reasons for that we'll never understand completely until in eternity. But I hope that encourages someone today, because it has changed my life and how I feel.
The natural consequences of falling in living in a fallen world. The idea, garbage in, garbage out. And I say, folks, including myself, a lot of times, the problems in my life aren't the devil. The problems in my life are me, my habits, the things that I do, the stuff I eat. I think it's true of all of us, right? And so I remember, and Todd's got a great grasp on this. Man, it's about this next life. Let Christ be glorified in this life, and you get a crown of glory on the other side. juggling five things here, trying to make sure I stay on task. What's going on? So let's lift up Brian. If you guys, some of you know Brian, give just check in with him as well. And I know I'm probably leaving somebody else. Anything else that I've missed? But here's what I want to do. See, I got something I want to teach on, but I want to go to something else first. Okay. I think Jared, see if I sent you. And I thought I did. Man, I did. I'm going to forward it to you right now. Jeremiah Thomas. We all remember that name? I remember Jeremiah Thomas. Sure we do. I thought I sent it. Did Jeremiah Thomas? You have it? Good. Put that up on the screen. I thought I did. Oh yeah, I sent it to you. I didn't forward it to me. That's why. Rusty's launched something, and this is something that we can all play in. So if you look at your screen right now, this is an email I just got that Rusty just launched this national thing yesterday. It's on your screen right now, but for those of you who are listening, I'm going to read this to you. Hey, please don't tune out. I got someplace we're going today, okay? Bear with me. Will Texas governor keep promise to dying teenager to outlaw abortion? That's the title of the press release we're getting ready to send out. Last year, Jared was talked to Jeremiah Thomas, terminally ill, a teenager from Waco, was granted his dying wish to talk with our governor, Greg Abbott, on the phone. And Jeremiah asked him to end abortion. The governor said he would do it. Scroll on down. And Governor Abbott said, your wish is on the Republican Party platform, and it's what we're going to be pursuing this next legislative session. And that is to outlaw abortion altogether in the state of Texas. And so your wish is granted. That's what the governor said. Well, that's a big promise. And that was a promise that was not made in a vacuum. The day before the governor's promise, the Republican Party of Texas had readopted a plank to its platform, which is first adopted in 2016. Excuse me. We call upon the Texas legislature to enact legislation stopping the murder of unborn children and to ignore and refuse to enforce any and all federal, state regulations, executive orders, and court rulings that would deprive an unborn child of life. This was the Republican platform. On top of that, a proposition to abolish abortion has also received the support of over 68% of Republicans in last March's primary. After Governor Abbott made his promise, videos of it went wild, viral, gaining coverage by Fox News, Ben Shapiro, Daily Signal, Live Action, and Coach Dave Live. Sadly, Jeremiah never got to see his promise fulfilled. He died of cancer 2 months later. Now, however, legislative session is in. Governor Abbott is in session, and Governor Abbott promised Jeremiah he would be pursuing to outlaw abortion altogether in Texas beginning January 8th today. With this opportunity now here, and to carry on the legacy of their sin, Jeremiah's parents have launched a video, and thousands of Texans are watching. We're not going to watch it now. But on top of that, Jeremiah's parents have asked us to sign a petition. You can do that. To show Governor Abbott the tremendous support he has in Texas to keep his promise. And needless to say, we are honored to help them carry on their son's dream and legacy. However, the time is short. Stop the murder. Excuse me. 50,000 preborn children. Sign the petition. You're moving on that thing right now. So, Jared, I don't know how we get this petition to everybody. I don't know how we get this link to everybody. Let's make this, Jeremiah, there, Jared, let's make this available in the show notes or wherever this thing goes. And just get on, go online there and sign that. Help promote that. I don't know how else to do it. Play the video. I haven't watched the video. Let's see how long the video. Oh, you don't have to play that, Jared, because it's a true story of Jeremiah.
But Coach, this is what we were talking about, the glorification of God. Even Rusty said, all the years of pro-life abolition ministry, through Jeremiah's death, this thing has gone around the world. Rusty would never have the avenue into Governor Abbott that he has now. Because right. of Jeremiah's death. Jeremiah's death has caused God to be glorified, especially in this very tangible thing of child sacrifice here in America. And it mm-hmm. is gaining traction because Jeremiah laid down his life.
Amen, brother. So, folks, sign this and forward it to other people and get them to sign it. I'm going to get hold of, we have some contacts down in Texas as well. We're going to really, really push and promote this thing and that, Jeremiah's wish. Well, make these stinking politicians keep their word, huh? How about that? Good. Cool. Somebody put that in the chat as well, although it will be on our website. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. It will be on our website. And sign that and forward it to all your friends. Get them. Same thing, right? We can talk about being pro-life. I told you everybody's pro-life. Some just choose the white woman's life over the baby's life, but nobody wants to die. They just want to see other people die. But they're pro-life. For them, their choice, they're pro-life. Time abortion ended. All right, cool. Let's go, Jared. I'm back on my stuff here. Now I got a good show tomorrow. I want to talk about, let's not forget this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's not good, not well off, boys. You're not well off. And I would probably make national news if we begin to pray imprecatory prayers against her. I pray that if she's not already dead, which you laugh. I'm reading stuff on the internet that would be a possibility as well. Can't believe everything you heard on the internet. Do you have any idea the war's going to break out when this 85-year-old woman who just had lung cancer, you have any idea the war that's going to break out? By the way, this is interesting. Jared, this is one wicked woman. If you do research into Ruth Bader Ginsburg and some of her beliefs, the things she got on the Supreme Court by a 93-7 vote, 93-7, they approved this atheistic, God-hating, I don't even know what you call her. She has done more to harm America than any woman ever. This woman right here, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I believe.
Hey, Coach. And,
yes.
Rick Wiles was talking about her yesterday or a couple of days ago, and he said some things that were very touched on some issues that were very quote unquote controversial mm-hmm. about the Jewish angle.
Yeah.
And how wicked that whole thing is, and just talking about the Democrats in general and how they're just so it's a war, like you've talked about earlier. It's a war on all fronts, and people of faith are being challenged.
Go back to that screen you just left. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just mentioning that. I think you're on to something, and it's a very wicked system we have, and it's just war on all fronts.
Can I second that? Let me say also that we're not, no one here in the huddle blaming all Jews. We're blaming people who are masquerading as Jews and causing all this stuff behind the scenes. We're
those not anti-Semitic. Those who say they are Jews and are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan, right? The Zionists, as Kevin put up. Right?
Exactly.
Hey, Coach.
The baby ravers.
Coach, yes. Vinny and Paul, are we talking about the same lady? I went with Pam. We saw a movie recently. I saw a preview of her movie, and she looked like a good lady. She did a lot for women.
She did. Yeah, she really did. So look, I want you to look right there, guys. I want you to look on that what's on the screen. Some of you can't see it. She's 85 years. She has been on the court for 25 years. Now, you think all hell's not going to break loose when Ruth Bader Ginsburg kicks the bucket here soon? Then you think the court balance of the court is switched? See, it didn't really switch with Brett Kavanaugh. It didn't really. He replaced that wishy-washy Kennedy, right? You're talking about Ginsburg out and some conservative in. Whoa, the war is going on. But I want you to see the spiritual war. And if you have spiritual eyes, you'll see it. And if not, you'll make fun of me on Right Wing Watch, okay? I don't care. In a country where nearly 46%, check my math, I don't know about that for sure, are what are considered evangelical Christians, in this day of diversity and tolerance, no evangelical Christians on the United States Supreme Court. None. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's been there 25 years. She is a Jew. Now, as Vinny just said, doesn't mean anything, but the Bible talks about those who say they are Jews and are not. Bloodline Jews. Is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg? I'm going to tell you this. She hates Christ. Ruth Bader Ginsburg hates Christ. Stephen Breyer. I mean, I don't know what he is. He's probably some Episcopalian or something like that. I mean, he ain't one of us. Let me tell you, I promise you, he ain't one of us. Then you got Clarence Thomas, who is Catholic. Got Sam Alito, Catholic. I want you to listen for the evangelicals here, okay? Somebody listen for him. 46% of the country. That'll be half of the Supreme Court. Let's see. Thomas, Catholic. Alito, Catholic. Sonia Sotomayor, if you do the research on her, is part Catholic and part Jew. Jewish in line with her mother. Again, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, right? John Roberts, squashy Episcopalian, maybe. I used to know that. I don't know for sure, but he ain't one of us, even though they tell us. Elena Kagan, Jewish, right? Brett Kavanaugh, Episcopalian. Neil Gorsuch, Episcopalian. Anybody finding any tongue talkers in this crew? Any Pentecostals? Should there be any Pentecostals? See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the churches, again, don't even, why don't the churches go to President Trump and demand an evangelifish Christian? Now, somebody said earlier, that may not be a good idea because we may get a real fish, right? We might get a fish. But there ought to be some Christian representation on this. It is. And I pray for Ruth Bader Ginsburg salvation. I pray for it. But hell's mouth is going to open wide if she doesn't repent.
Wow.
That's what I think. That's going to be a big bite. And her legacy, her destructive legacy. Jared, if you go back to that article, daggone. See, I was looking, I couldn't find this morning, Jared, because I wanted to talk about this. But I couldn't find it. If you go down and you read about the wickedness of this lady right here, she was on the. Do you know that she was a national director, a state director of the American Civil Liberties Union when Bill Clinton put her up on the Supreme Court 25 years? Yeah. You know that? Is that unbelievable?
That's surprising.
Do you know that she, She's the one that pushed this. Look, she's the one that pushed all this deviancy. She's behind it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the one behind it. She's been on the court 25 years. Okay,
then hey, move Coach.
On. Yeah.
I don't know if you probably read an article. A lot of people think she's dead already.
Oh, I was going to say that, but I'd be on front page right wing watch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's already on ice, they say. She's already on ice, right? And somebody explain this to me. They say she's going to work from her bed, 85 years old, working from her bed, right? How would you like to have a case before the Supreme Court with Ruth Bader Ginsburg ruling on it and wasn't even in the courtroom to hear the arguments? You talk about justice, huh? Now, I'm sure the right's going to yell about that, right? I'm sure they are. No, we go along to get along. We're nicer than Jesus. That's right. All right. Cool. Hell's going to break loose, boys. When the deep state pulls her out of the cooler, and finally, it's so evil. Okay? Man, I'm all over the place today. And I had some place I wanted to go. Jared, click on Spirit of, and is that where I want to go? Yeah. No, that's not, Jared. Let's go to the last one. I'm going to come back to that Spirit of Infirmity. I don't think I'm going to close on that one today. The American Psychological Association warns. this is what kind of world are we living in? The American Psychological Association, dare I say it, fake science, voodoo science. Isn't that what they call psychology? Isn't psychology just people trying to figure out what's going on? Is there really no science behind psychology? And will we at any time in any place in America, will we wake up and bring into play the demonic realm at all? Is it possible, David Arthur, are you in, David Arthur, let me pull you in here real quick, David, before I get more into this article. David, is there a spiritual component to sexual deviancy? Because hang on, the American Psychological Association's warning against traditional masculinity as harmful and oppressive. Now, boys and girls, if I was the devil, that's what I'd be saying. That's what I'd be saying. Now, isn't it amazing, again, that the American Psychological Association follows what's going on in the culture and then changes their stances based on what they see in the culture? It's what they did with homosex. Homosex was a mental illness up until 1975. It was a mental illness. And then the homos pushed and American Psychological Association, fake science, changed their position on it. And now it's everywhere you look. Well, now they're saying the big problem in America, well, we got too many boys acting like boys. That's the problem. Well, who's saying that? Those women with those pussy hats? They're the ones that are saying that. So the fake science American Psychological Association comes along and says, yep, that masculinity, that'll do it. That'll do it, man. Well, my God, can we see what's going on? David, are you home? Are you awake? Are you up? Is there a spiritual component, David, to homosexuality? I see he's in the queue. Maybe he fell over. Maybe he's taking a bath. I don't know. I say yes, there is. It's a spiritual component to it. And many, as Todd Barham said to me last night, the Hospital Medical Association, it is wicked, not the association, the pharmakia, the medical society, is medicine without Christ. How can that possibly be good? How can it possibly? And so here comes the American Psychological Association, traipsing right in behind him. So I hear somebody trying to come in. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I saw a video and it's a documentary how the homosexual agenda manipulated the APA, American Psychological Association.
I was going to show that, Jeff. I was going to show that today.
Okay.
Hang with me, man. You're on the right page. Let's do this.
The word pharmakia is sorcery. It's witchcraft. That's exactly what they're practicing, witchcraft.
That's right. Fake science, right? Jared, scroll down here a little bit, because then I'm going to take you someplace else. You're going to say, what the? Hey, Christians, what the hell is going on? Why are we letting this crap go on? What is wrong with us? So they've released a new report that warns about the harmful and oppressive effects of masculinity. I'm not making this up, folks. I'm not making this up. By the way, masculinity was here before psychology was. Believe. The report starts with this. New guidelines for psychological practice with boys and men strive to recognize and address the problems in boys and men while remaining sensitive to the field's androcentric past. What's that? What is that? 13 years in the making, they draw on more than 40 years of research showing that traditional masculinity is psychologically harmful and that socializing boys to suppress their emotion causes damage that echoes both inwardly and outwardly. Through men, though men benefit from patriarchy, they are also impinged upon by patriarchy, says Ronald F. Levant, Ed. I got one of those, a professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Akron and co-editor of the APA volume, The Psychology of Men and Masculinity. We have a, hey, Lowell, there's one guy that'll be in Health Hall of Fame. Levant was APA president in 2005 when the guidelines drafting. I bet he's a pussy. Pardon me. Sissy. I'm sorry, girls. Lord, forgive me. Began and was instrumental in securing funding and support to get the process started. They go on to describe the needs of men. Are you ready? They'll be coming to your school. No. Coming to your church. The main thrust of the subsequent research is that traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is, on the whole, harmful. Now, homosexism, men taking their sex organs and putting it in where poo-poo comes out, that ain't harmful. That's normal. This is harmful. Men socialized in this way are less likely to engage in healthy behavior. For example, a 2011 study led by Christian Springer, PhD of Rutgers University, found that men with the strongest beliefs about masculinity were only half as likely as men with more moderate masculinity beliefs to get preventative health care. In other words, dumb guys like me don't go to the doctor. That's what it is. She's worried about me. And in 2007, researchers led by James Mahaley, PhD of Boston College, Godless Boston College, found that the more men conformed to masculine norms, the more likely they were to consider as normal risky health behaviors such as heavy drinking, using tobacco, and avoiding vegetables. Can you believe
How
that?
How about football?
And football. And to engage these. And listen, homosex isn't a risky behavior. No. It's perfectly healthy. It's so healthy that the average homosexual dies at 44. But those drinking, cussing, tobacco smoking football fans, those poor guys. Next thing you know, they'll be, oh, Lord. Because of the way men have been brought up to be self-sufficient and able to take care of themselves, they need a pastor. They need a senator. They need a representative. They need a mayor. We all need somebody for us. Any sense that things aren't okay needs to be kept secret. Part of what happens is men who keep things to themselves look outward and see that no one else is sharing any of the conflicts that they feel inside. By the way, the church won't talk about it, right? That makes them feel isolated. They think they're alone. I think I'm alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. They think they're weak. They feel they're not okay. Feel, think. They don't realize that other men are also harboring private thoughts and private emotions and private conflicts. In the next section titled Multiple Masculinities, the APA starts to ramp up their whack jobbery. The vision of masculinity may summon up an image of a closed-mouthed cowboy like John Wayne, but there's more to masculinity than macho swagger. When the rules of manliness bump up against the issues of race, class, and sexuality, they can further complicate men's lives. Yes!
My life is complicated when I don't know whether to call man or woman. I don't know what to call him. That does complicate things. Who's doing the complicating? For example, the masculine requirement to remain stoic and provide for loved ones. Do you believe this? This is the American Psychological Association. Junk science. For example, the masculine requirement to remain stoic and provide for loved ones can interact with systemic racism. There you go. And lead to so-called John Henryism for African American men, a high effort method of coping that involves striving hard in the face of prolonged stress and discrimination. John Henryism has been linked with hypertension and depression. Race, ethnicity, and discrimination can also intersect with immigration status. Do you believe this crap? American Psychological Association. Need one of these guys.
American Psycho Association is more like it. Because yeah, I need a hug now.
No wonder they hate Trump. No wonder they hate Trump. Hey, Jared, other people's perceptions of masculinity matter too. And many of these perceptions are rooted in racial stereotyping. Yeah.
Have you ever watched
the masculinity in an NBA basketball game? You watch them dunk on each other and then look down on top of them. You ever seen a football game where a guy cold cocks some guy and then stands over him? What do they talk about race? What are they talking about? Wow. How about this? And colleagues have reported that at least among white college students, Asian American men are viewed as less manly. Wow. Is that good or bad? Hey, Cho Chin, is that good or bad? Huh? Fu King, is that good or bad that you seem like viewed as a sissy? Men and boys of color may also be viewed with suspicion by schools. Men of boys of color. What? Suspicion in schools, law enforcement, and others, leading to harsher punishments compared with white men and boys. Says Christopher Leung, PhD, a psychologist at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania, who, by the way, helped draft these guidelines. Boys and men of color are dealing with all their hurts and their struggles in ways that are consistent with masculinity, Leung says. So be tough and don't show your hurt. And then they have to do this in a system where their behaviors are looked upon more negatively than boys and men. These dynamics play out in prison system as well. As of 2014, black men make up 30% of male state. Yeah, I ain't got any dads! Federal prison population were more than 10 times as likely to be. So these guys are in prison because of masculinity. That's what we're supposed to believe? Somebody help me out here. Don't they let them go in there and have butt sex? Hang on a minute. Black men are more than 10 times as likely to be incarcerated in federal prisons as white men. They don't have fathers. 70% of them are born in a home with no father. It's not masculinity being raised by women. Gender minorities, too, must grapple with societal views of masculinity. This is an ever-shifting territory. Go ahead, Paul. Gee, I'm almost out of time. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you look at it from a secular, if I was a young man today growing up in America, I'd be confused about how to treat a woman. I know if you've been following what's going on, I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago, there was a guy on the Kansas City Chiefs, a very good running back. George will know who he is. Kareem Hunt, who was an excellent running back.
Right.
And it turned out that back in February last year, he got into an incident involved with a woman.
Uh-oh.
And it shows him shoving that woman.
He got masculine on her?
Well, here's the thing. If I'm growing up in today's America, say I grew up in a home where I saw, and you're being told that women are you're seeing a single mom raising you and your siblings, and you see them do both male and female roles because obviously they have to. And then you go out into society and you hear, well, you should protect women, blah, blah, blah. You're confused because it's like, wait a minute, you know, and then you're taught, well, stand up, respect yourself, and don't let anybody disrespect you. And then all of a sudden someone does that to you. You don't care what the sex they are. You're going to bow back. And that's what happens. And these men are confused. And so we get all upset at these guys when that happens, and how dare he and she, instead of realizing that, you know, we've accepted this junk science as science, and the church has let it, they've accepted it.
Second Corinthians, Jared, second Corinthians 10, verse 5. I'm with you, Paul. And see, I said, I don't want to get into the whole race thing, but 70% of the babies in black communities don't have a daddy. 70%. And they go to school where they're taught by women. There aren't men elementary school teachers. Sorry, there just aren't. The principals are women. Everywhere they go, young black men are disciplined and under the heel of women. Everywhere you go. So, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jared, go to Webster's. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what we know about God and what God knows about us, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. So Jared, go to Webster's. What's casting down? What's an imagination? What does it mean to cast it down? The power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of sense. So thinking you're a woman. Thinking you want to have sexual relationships with a man. Thinking you're married and not being able to control your sexual urges to go have sex with other women, and looking at pornography, which exacerbates the idea of images, forms things into your mind and through into your senses. Imagination, I understand, to be the representative of an individual thought. Our simple apprehension or corporeal objects, if present, is sense, if absent, is imagination. Imagine pornography is looking at a woman and imagining you're with it. Imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. Imagine you're a woman. What if somebody plants in your mind the idea that you're a woman? What if somebody plants in your mind the idea that you could probably corner that sweet little girl at work if you had the opportunity? What if somebody planted that imagination? What if somebody planted in your mind that you had the imagination that you could go out and you could use drugs and it wouldn't harm you? What if somebody planted that? What if somebody planted in your mind the idea that you're sick and you're going to die? What if somebody planted that idea in you? Our simple apprehension, imagination in its proper sense, signifies a lively conception of objects of sight. It is as distinguished from conception as apart from the whole. So in other words, an imagination is an image making in your mind. And what does it tell us in Ephesians to do? Cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. So you have a young child and it has deviant sexual behaviors. Cast that down. Not encourage it, not feed into it. Oh, Lord. Jared, what's it mean to cast down? I don't even know if it has that. See if our friend Mr. Webster has cast down. Probably does. It's two words. No. Cast down. Cast. To throw, fling, or send. There it is. Fling it down. Take that thing, that high thing, and throw it down. Throw it down. Cast it down.
Hey, Coach.
Go back to Ephesians, Jared. Yeah, Paul.
Well, you know, also, too, think about that. look at what's all happening in our society now with automated, what do they call it, virtual reality?
Yeah, and AI. Reality,
right. All that stuff is tied into this, and this is what's coming down the road. I mean, AI and augmented reality, and this is what they're doing is they're soft disclosure of this stuff, AI. Trying to prepare us for that, to where right. It's going to become, oh, that's normal, and you know, it's going to become a point where they're going to try to make such a world where we live in that kind of reality, and we're not. It's just wicked, the whole thing. It's all works together.
Let me ask you this real quickly. You guys heard a sermon on this? Oh, no, this is the gospel. We just preach the gospel here. We just preach the gospel. Verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? You mean I see things that gives me an imagination? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. We're supposed to take authority, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given up us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed. Take after every thought. Cast it down. Somebody was trying to come in. Jared, go to the APA on homo.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Talk about a brilliant plan of the enemy. Man, confuse the men in a culture, tear them down, because you know what? As the men go, so the country goes.
That's it. Okay, boys, I want to see this real quick. I don't have enough time. Boy, I got more. I wish I'd known I was going to go here. I had had so much stuff for you. This is the junk science website called the American Psychological Association. This is their website, right? Since 1975, the APA has called on psychologists to take the lead in removing the stigma of mental illness that's long been associated with lesbian, gay, and bisexual. Now, we don't talk about the demonic influence at all, right? Because there isn't a God, and God and science, they can't be together. So they've come up with this pamphlet. Or scroll down here, Jared. So here's a good pamphlet you can get. What is sexual orientation? Click on that, Garrett. First, to an enduring pattern of emotional, romantic, and or sexual attractions to men. How about imaginations? It's all imaginations. All sexual orientation is an imagination. David Arthur is right. David Arthur says it's natural. It's for a man to be attracted to a man is natural. For a man to be intimate with a man is natural, but not sexual. You don't be sexually intimate with a man. But every men like to have buddies. Men like to eat hamburgers, drink beer, sit around, cook hot dogs on the fire, and cut farts. That's what men like to do. Right? Imagination. But see, the AFA says you can't do that. Sorry about the farts part. Go back, Jared. Let's go to the next question. Well, how do people know if they're gay or lesbian? Well, according to current scientific and professional understanding, yeah, not spiritual understanding. The core attractions that form the basis for sexual orientation typically emerge between middle childhood and early adolescence. No wonder they're trying to get them young. These patterns of emotional, imaginations, romantic, imagination, sexual attraction, imagination, arise without any prior sexual experience. That's a lie. People can be celibate and still know their sexual orientation, be it lesbian, gay. Next one, Jared. Bunch of lies. This isn't even science. What causes a person to have that? Well, we don't really know. There's no consensus among scientists. Of course not. Of course there isn't any consensus, because there isn't any science behind it. Next one, Jared. You can read all these yourselves. Well, what role does prejudice and discrimination play in the lives of lesbians? Are you kidding me? Huh? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, I say, encounter extensive prejudice, discrimination, violence because of their sexual. And what they don't tell you is most of the violence on homosexuals is other homosexuals. Go to the next one, Jared. What is the psychological impact of prejudice? Oh, I see. You understand? Do you see the junk spiritual science here? Don't you see it? Psychological? What's the psychological impact? Man without Christ. We know where that takes us. Next one, Jared. Is homosexual a mental disorder? Oh, no.
No, no, no. People go out all the time and do self-destructive behaviors, and they end up dying young. We call it smoking. We call it drugs. We call it suicide. We call it, some people call it homosexuality. That's not a mental disorder. No, no way. What's the next one, Jared? We were wrong back until 1975, and then we all got more educated, and now we know. What about the therapy? Oh, you can't change it. There's no mental health organization officially expressed concerns of therapy's proponents. No. David could talk to you about that. Next one. One more. I've had enough of it. I don't want to read. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the sad part. You ready for the mic drop? The American Psychological Association has more impact in the society than the Christian church. There it is.
That's the sad part, brother.
Amen.
That's the mic drop, isn't it? That's the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something real quick?
The scriptures tell us that the enemy is going to try to attack you through your mind, through your imagination. That's how the enemy tries to attack you. And we're teaching, first of all, we're not even teaching that in church. And number two, we're certainly not teaching how to combat it.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Who gives the American Psychological Association credibility? Who gives it to them? We do.
We do. That's true. That's true. The government, we do. You're right. We let them in the schools. People, we take the studies.
The people acknowledge it. The people are sheeple. The people need something to justify their immoral feelings. So they deliver. They deliver a message to, this angers me. This whole idea angers me because they're using the colleges that we pay for to train people to throw that stuff back at society. It's just
right.
It's horrible.
Well, we've given it all over to Bart. Can I tell you something, brother? We're not going to be here long. We're going to be raptured out of here, and then we won't have to deal with it, brother. So just relax and just preach the gospel.
Churches should be begging David Arthur to come in and speak.
They're not.
Churches should be begging him to come speak to the parents, to the youth groups. So when they go in on Monday morning to the school system, they're aware of what's going on. They should be begging him.
Amen, Roger. And do you think, are they teaching David Arthur in the public schools, or are they teaching this crap? Under the guise of science. Science. When they said, Jared, go back to that website real quick. Go ahead.
Hey, well, churches don't even talk about anything going on in our culture. They just
don't talk about what, Gary?
They don't talk about anything that goes on in our culture.
Anything. That's right.
They do a Bible study.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But there we're in it. Jared, go back up to the top a second. What causes a person to be homosexual? It's question number two. Okay? What causes a person? Okay, now, science ought to be able to tell you this, right? What causes cancer? Well, we got about 10 different things to do. What causes drug addiction? Well, we got about 10 different things to do. What causes a person to be homo? Jared? Click on that. There's no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons. Well, then it ain't science. It's an opinion. It ain't nothing more than an opinion. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural institute of sexual, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor. In fact, many think that the nature and nurture both play complex roles, and most people experience little or no sense of choice about the sexual orientation. And see that, folks, listen, you mean to tell me that you think male on male butt sex is natural and normal? Who are the sick ones?
Amen.
Who are the sick ones?
Amen.
That's doing it for us.
Delusion.
Not only who do the same, Romans 1:28, Jared, real quickly, I'm about out of time. Romans 1:28. In case you thought you were going to escape. And going down the bottom, last one, Jared. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, the scripture says, who am I to judge? God said to worthy of death, those who do such things. Not only do the same, but listen to the American Psychological Association as they destroy everything holy and righteous in this country. Not only do we permit it, we encourage it, we endorse it, we support it, we teach it.
David,
we thought the devil was the problem.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to go back when this the association made their determination on homosexuality and look at the press releases and everything and to see what the body was doing. What was the church doing? Were they standing up to fight this definition change? I doubt it they were.
No, I'm sure they weren't. No.
Last time I was in Columbus for the homo parade, there was dozens of churches celebrating that crap.
Amen, brother. Not only who do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. It ain't the devil that's the problem. It's the followers of Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.